be seated and take your Bibles, look with me in 1 John tonight for a few minutes as we go there. We'll be in 1 John, but I'll be in 2 John mainly tonight as well. Some passages in Hebrews, but how very important the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is, that power, that wonder-working power, as our song tells us, and that power that's in the blood. And the reason being is the Holy Spirit, according to Hebrews, tells us that He, Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered His blood. Through the eternal Spirit. So the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ are inseparable. Understand that. The Holy Spirit, Hebrews 9:14 says it this way, that through the eternal Spirit He offered His blood. So the Holy Spirit was, in essence, was in the blood of Christ and presented that, not the human blood, but the divine blood of Christ. Yes, it was human blood, but it was the blood of the Father. The blood of Jesus was offered there in the throne room on my behalf and your behalf, yea, on the behalf of every sinner. As I said this morning, quoting from Watchman Nee in one of his books, he said so well that the human family, when Satan tempted Eve, and Pastor Josh talked about this last Sunday night, and Eve and Adam fell, that human family fell. Satan gained a stronghold in human beings. So that we were at odds, as Romans 8 says, Paul says, that we were enmity against God. We were enemies, in essence. Now, to be an enemy, you've got to have somebody to make peace, or you're going to always be an enemy. Someone has to make peace. There has to be a peace accord. There has to be some kind of a treaty to satisfy the differences between the two. God's holy, God's righteous. He cannot look upon sin. He will not allow sin in heaven. Satan was kicked out, and a third of the angels, for that reason. He will not allow sin in heaven. And so how on earth could we be right with God? How could that ever happen? And the only way it could happen, and you know the plan, and I do, is that the Lord Jesus, the very Son of God Himself, came to this earth, became a human being, hallelujah, was born in a human body. He had the divine blood of the Father, but it was still human blood. It was red, like yours is when it spills. But it was a divine blood. It didn't have a corruption about it. It was the blood of the Father. Now, and Hebrews 9:14 tells you that the Holy Spirit offered, that He by His own blood offered through the Holy Spirit that wonderful sacrifice for our sins. So here was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God did not leave the Lord Jesus as He hung on the cross of Calvary. The blood was being shed for us. It was an eternal blood that the Spirit could offer there in my place and yours, in heaven at the throne room of God. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, ascended back, and there presented, because He being the, can we say, the testator, is the way the Bible puts it, of the New Testament or the New Covenant, He being the one that fulfilled the New Testament and the New Covenant, and He being there, His blood's on the throne, and He's there as the one to present it. And the Holy Spirit took care of that transaction. Now, why is that important? Because whenever you magnify the blood of the Lord Jesus, whenever we magnify it through song or through message, the Holy Spirit always shows up. The Spirit is in the blood, and the blood is in the Spirit. In that sense, they magnify and complement one another. And when the blood of Jesus Christ is made much of, the Holy Spirit anoints more and more and more. That's why that I think many churches
have lost so much power is they deny the work of the blood of Jesus Christ. To many, that's old news. But actually, it's the eternal news that we have to have. It's the power. It's the power of our existence. It's the power of our redemption. Do you know you wouldn't have access to the throne room of heaven if there wasn't the blood of Jesus Christ on the throne room? In the throne room there for you? You wouldn't have access. You wouldn't have a right there. But you have His blood and you have His Himself as our representative. He is our great high priest. He stands there with the offering of His own blood. And here He is, and you and I have access to the very throne of God because of the blood of Christ and our Lord Jesus Christ there as our high priest, as our advocate. In one sense, someone has said our attorney, but more than that, there to represent us, to present His own blood. Can we say, when we claim the blood of Christ, when we say to the demons of hell and to those that would attack us, we claim the blood of Christ, we're claiming the very heart of heaven itself and the power of the Holy Ghost, who is God, to act in that situation. That's the reason you hear me say so often, and I pray more often and more often, the claiming of the blood of Christ and the resurrection power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because that is our victory cry, folks. It is. Aaron was so right when he said, man, he's feeling closer to God. He's just enjoying himself in that Word. Because the Word, I'll show you this since you're close. You're in 2 John. 1 John chapter 5, you're just one page back, verse number 7. Look at this. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Lord Jesus. We know in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and who? And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now we know that, don't we? The Trinity, Father, the Word, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 8 though. There are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, He's here with us, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but who's the water here? It's none other than the Word of God you have. The living Word, the written Word, are synonymous. When Aaron said what he said there in his testimony, so very accurate, that Word of God, that living Word in you, is your, it's your food, it's your defense, it's your meditation, and guess who agrees with it? The Holy Spirit, and, you catch this, the blood. The blood of the Lord. There's three agree on earth. The Holy Spirit, the water, the Word of God, and the blood of the Lord Jesus. So, let me encourage you, with everything that's in me, you be very, very, I want to use the term regular or continually claiming the blood of Christ and the work of Christ, because you're claiming the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Word of God, the work of the very Son of God, all of that when we claim the blood of Jesus. And of course, the resurrection power that's flowing from that. So it's not a light, frivolous statement to say, oh, I plead the blood of Jesus, I claim the blood of Christ. It's actually the most powerful one thing that can be spoken and claimed by any person, or can I even say creation, that our God has created. Now, Gabriel was hindered from reaching Daniel. When Daniel was praying, Gabriel couldn't get to him. For 3 weeks he was withstood by demonic powers that was over Persia. Gabriel told Daniel, said, quick as you started to pray, Daniel, I headed toward you, but the prince of Persia, that demonic powers, those principalities, they stopped me. Till Michael the archangel came down. Michael the warrior angel appears like in the scriptures as his name is used. He came down, he whooped up on them angels, and Gabriel got through with the message to Daniel. You see that spiritual warfare. And then you see in the book of Jude, the little book of Jude, that when Michael the archangel, there's the old warrior angel again, who it seems and appears also, he has a responsibility for watching after the nation of Israel. And here's Michael the archangel, and old Michael is there contending with the devil. Actually, there is an argument whether Satan can have the body of Moses. Since Satan, as I said earlier, even in this morning's service in Hebrews 2, that he had somewhat of a hold over death till Jesus came and rose from the dead alive forever and broke the power of Satan and sin and spit in the eye of the devil. Hallelujah. Put his sword up in the throat of old Satan, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from him, condemned him to an eternity in the lake of fire one day, and Jesus will be that strong angel that comes down and binds the rascal during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. He'll be that strong angel that comes down and binds old Satan and throws him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. I look forward to that, don't you? Amen. Glory be to God. But Michael, when contending with Satan, you can read this in Jude, disputed about the body of Moses. And here's what he said. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord, Jehovah, Jesus, rebuke you. Now he could say that because the blood, the Spirit, and the Word bear witness. And Michael uses that same wonderful tool that strikes fear in the heart of the devil. He uses that in his fight or debate against Satan, the old prince of demons himself. So ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you how wonderful it is to have and to claim the blood of Jesus Christ and to know what we... When I explain that tonight so you'll know what that means, it's not an empty saying, it's not magic words. It is only there for those who are believers. And we are believers. Now, look with me in 2 John here for just a moment. And John, the last writer of the New Testament, he is writing to us somewhere around 90 A.D. All three of his epistles is written. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in 90, right around that time. Then he wrote the book of the Revelation. He's the last writer of the New Testament. He's the last of the apostles to die. And John was called John the Beloved. And here in chapter, it's just one chapter, but in 2 John, this little epistle, he's encouraging. It's a family epistle. Actually, all three of them are. Man, it's, you see the home atmosphere in this. To the elder in verse 1, through the elder John, unto the elect lady. Hallelujah, the elect lady. And her children, whom I love in the truth, not I only, but also they that have known the truth. And the truth, that statement, that word truth, occurs over and over again in these 13 little verses here. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. He continually talks about the truth. Then in verse number 7, he commends her in verses 1 through 3. He talks about her children in verse 4. There's a command that he in verse 5. Then there's a caution in verse 7, and that's where I'm going to tonight, verse 7 and 8. He says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, why is that the earmark? Why is that the test? Why is it the litmus test for someone, if they're true blue or not, if they're truly born again, if they truly are children of God, if they are believers and not demon-possessed, is they will confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Goes back to what I've already said. God's Son became human, shed that eternal blood offered by the eternal Spirit, eternally there for us, but He had to be flesh to do that. Jesus Christ became flesh, and He says the spirit of the Antichrist, these demonic spirits, deny that. They deny the actual atonement of the cross. The cross means nothing. For some folks, it's only a piece of jewelry they wear around their neck, or it's something they see that's standing somewhere, and that's all it means to them. Doesn't mean anything, but it does. It means to us, it means to believers, this is the eternal work, this is the eternal sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ has been offered for my sins. So the litmus test for anybody is, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Now, I've dealt with some demon-possessed people before. I've been in jail with them. Amen. That's not a good way to say it, but I have been. But anyway, Joanne has too. She's been in jail with them. So I've got good company here, Joanne and me. We've both been in jail with demon-possessed people. But listen, there's something none of them have ever been able to say, and that's this verse right here. I had a young man I was talking to one time in his 20s, and he was telling me, Nate, this boy had been in church. He'd been raised in church. I don't know, he couldn't tell me a clear testimony about his salvation, but all he would just say is, I've been in church, I was in church a lot, I was in church, my family had me there, and it was a good Bible-believing church. Now, so he knew the truth. And I said, well, here, what he would come to me for was he was having problems. And these were problems, he said, I don't know what's happening. They're strange. I'm hearing voices. And I said, you probably been smoking some pot. And the Holy Spirit gave me that because I didn't know if he had or not. And he said, well, I have. I said, well, that can do it because, you know, demonic presence is in this dope for sure. It's in alcohol. It is. And I said, it could be that. He said, no, I'm sober when these voices are coming. And these voices are speaking to me. I said, what are they speaking to you? Well, he says, is it ever anything good? He said, well, no, sometimes it's not real bad though. But I know it's a voice that I don't like to hear. So I took him over to 1 John and I said, I want you to read chapter 4 and I want you to read these first verses, read them out loud to me. Would you do that? He said, yeah, sure. I've read my Bible before. Beloved, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. Believe not every spirit, but there's many false prophets, false spirits going out into the world. He read that first verse, okay. He got down to verse number 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and that he stopped. I said, go ahead and read that again. He said, I can't read it. I said, try again. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that... And there was a voice, there was a coarseness coming out of him. Scared him to death. He jumped up and ran out of the office. And I ran out behind him to calm him down. And for the next hour or two, was trying to show him, you see how dangerous this is. You don't play with this. This is real. And so, here's what I want to caution us tonight. Look in 2 John, all right? You know the blood of Christ. You know that confession of Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that all, every bit of that is exalting the blood of Jesus. 1 John 5, what bears witness on earth? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the water, which is the Word of God, and the blood. Those three, bearing witness on this earth. We have the Word of God, you got it right in front of you. We have God the Holy Ghost, We have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all bearing witness to us. It's His death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. So, John here is warning this dear lady, and she's a great Christian, a Christian mother, and warning us. He says, listen, there's deceivers that's gone out into the world, verse 7 of 2 John, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which you have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. What did he say is the correct weapon against these deceivers? What is the antidote for this poison that these deceivers are putting out there? Satan right now is appearing as an angel of light. And what that means simply is he can almost appear like the Holy Ghost. He can almost appear like someone that's good. And he's an angel of light. This, just like this young man whom I and many others would have judged is, you know, he's a good old boy. He's a good guy. Didn't, you know, he wasn't in trouble with the law. He hadn't been in jail, any of those things. And we'd say, man, he's been in church some. But yet, here was a demonic possession of the boy's body coming out of him. It was obvious. And how on earth could that happen? Because he did not have the Holy Spirit within him. And the power, as John says, listen, look to yourselves that you don't lose those things which you have wrought. And the thought here of losing is throwing it away, tossing it away. Don't mean anything. It's making light of or making little of. It's not that you accidentally lose the wonderful truths of the Word of God. It's that it's not important anymore. Just toss it away. Hey, you know, who needs that word? Who needs Sunday school? Who needs the Word of God? Goodness gracious. But wait a minute. 1 John 5, there's just three that bears witness on this earth. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the blood of Jesus. There's just three. You can't do without any of the three. We've got to have all three. We have the Word. We have the blood of Christ, which we've already explained how powerful that is and how the demons quake as we as believers claim this precious blood of Christ and His resurrection. And the Holy Spirit is all in it. The Holy Spirit's the power of it. The Holy Spirit's the power in us. The power that anoints us and fills us and works in us comes through the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ is exalted. The Holy Spirit's exalted. And the Holy Spirit's exalted. The blood of Christ is exalted. You cannot have one without all three, the Word. And when He says, look to yourselves, don't throw away these truths, these wonderful truths, which is this book. You've got to have it. There's deceivers out there. Satan is an angel of light. You've got to have the Word, and the Word of God is that which testifies of God's goodness and God's greatness, and it gives you the ammunition you need. It gives you the faith you need. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. All of that in this book. We have to have it. Satan's lies are out there. There's tremendous deception in these days. You know that. I know that. Tremendous deception. We see it everywhere. We're experiencing it from every angle, actually. You never dreamed in our land that you couldn't trust our center of disease control. And I always did up till we started getting information about how they handle the COVID situation and things like that. And we know now it's clear that we've been deceived and lied to in some things. And I'm not one of those conspiracy fellows at all, but I know truth. And when I know truth, I'm going to hold to truth. And we're seeing that, and you've got these investigations, you know, the Department of Defense and all those other departments up there they're investigating different things. Now they're investigating President Biden because he had some documents that he shouldn't have kept. And, you know, they investigated President Trump because of the documents he had. And they're investigating this group and that group. Things is kind of strange that the ones that's guilty investigating the other ones guilty, and they're just as guilty as the ones doing an investigation. But anyway, Somebody, which is the church, knows the truth. We're not in the dark. Now, they'd like for us to be, but we're not. We're children of light. We know truth. And here's what he says. Your best weapon for these deceivers and that spirit of the Antichrist is to hang on to this truth and get more of this truth in you than ever before. Hide it in your heart. Grab hold of it. Lay on to it and latch on to it to where this truth is what guides you and speaks to you and speaks through you. You have many lies of the devil. Now I'm going to close out tonight by giving you some truths that you need, some truths that you have to have. You, first of all, realize this. You and I are no match for satanic powers except through the victory we have in Jesus. I remember my early days of ministry that every week, at least twice a week, I was preaching in local jails, and sometimes I'd get a chance to go to prisons to preach, and the Coburn prison camp at that time I was able to preach in on occasion. And even in those days, early 80s, in those days, there's strong demonic presence in the jails in those days. We didn't have nice facilities at all. I mean, not like, you know, we have today. One of the jails I went to in Greene County, the Greene County jail at that time was an old jail, very old jail, still had the old iron bars in the windows, no air conditioning in the summer times. It was a three-story building, concrete, steel, iron bars. The only air conditioning you had is the wind blowing through the windows. I'd go in there and another preacher friend or two would go with me. We'd go in to preach in these places. And there would be a demonic presence sometimes that you could almost touch. We'd pray. We'd say to each other, "Let's get prayed up, fellas, before we go in there. Let's get prayed up, man. We're storming hell here. Let's get prayed up." And we did. We'd pray and pray, and I'd spend that day a lot of times praying and fasting on that day as I'd go in there. And you know, in that horrible living conditions, we had some of the greatest revivals we ever had. We actually had revival, true revival, break out in that jail. It went through all three floors. Never reached over to the jailer's office, but it got through the prisoners, amen. We had revival. But oh my goodness, the price. It took prayer. It took pleading the blood of Christ in there. And one thing we always held to is when we give them Scripture, you be certain. We all were certain. We give them the Word of God, and then we re-emphasize what we've given them. Because this is truth, and it combats all that Satan has out there. All his lies will just go up in smoke when you know these things. And let me give you a few tonight. Number one, who I am in Christ. You got to remember, as a believer, who you are in Christ. First of all, I am God's child. Remember that? You belong to God. You're His youngin', we call it. John 1:12. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to as many that believed on His name. And then also, not only am I a child of God, but I'm a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, he talks about that abiding life. And he says, hey, you're no longer my servants. You're my friends. You're my friends, John 15:15. I've called you friends because a servant doesn't know what his father does, but a friend does. So I'm not only a child of God, I'm a friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been justified. Hallelujah. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have been justified. I'm God's child. I'm the friend of Jesus. I've been justified. I've been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20. I've been bought with a price. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Now that's important to note this here, and I want you to get this. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. I don't belong to me. My body's His body. He's living His life in me. I'm His. Remember, I belong to God. I'm God's child. I'm the friend of Christ. He bought me. He paid for me. I've been justified. And my body's His body. He lives in me. He's living His life through me. I'm not my own. And with that statement comes a wonderful truth. I don't own anything. He owns it all with me. I have no right to my opinion. You know it? I have no right to my way. I have no right of, I expect, Lord, that I can do this. I have no right for that. No. My rights are not mine. I belong to Him. That kind of a yielded life opens up the wonderful door where He lives in you and lives through you, and the peace of God, the whole work of the cross, is active in your life. And that is so marvelous, you see, because having been bought with a price, everything's His. I belong to Him. I'm a member. Don't forget this. You're a member of the body of Christ. We're individuals, yes, but we're part of His body, 1 Corinthians 12. I've been adopted. This is a good one. I've been adopted as God's child. I've been adopted as His kid. Not only am I born into the family, but I'm adopted into the family. Now, what does that mean, preacher? It means that, you see, a person that's born, they have to grow up. You know, they have to leave the stage of being carried around as infants, and then they get to walk a little bit, and they get to do some things, and they get a little older, and they don't get real freedom until they get older. But it's not so with the child of God. When you're born into the family of God, you did experience a new birth. You are babes in Christ, but He also adopted you, which means He gave you all the wonderful benefits of being a full son and daughter at age where you can inherit everything. You get it all. You don't have to wait till you get 18. You can get all the Father has at any age as the child of God. So I am adopted, Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons. Hallelujah, by Jesus Christ Himself. Also, I have direct access to God. This is so powerful. Through the Holy Spirit. Remember the three that bears witness? The Spirit, the Word, the water, the Word, and the blood. Right here on this earth. And He says, you have access to God. And I have access to God. This is powerful. I've been forgiven of all my sins. Colossians 1:13-14. I've been forgiven of all my sins. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and transformed us, that's not the word I'm looking for. Can't remember the exact quote. But anyway, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have been forgiven of all my sins. All of them, hallelujah. Redemption through His blood has forgiven me. And then this one thing, and I'll finish tonight. I am complete in Christ Jesus. I am complete in Christ Jesus. Scripture for that is over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 10. I'm complete in Him. Now these are truths I give you because these are things that helps you in your stand. It helps you mentally. When you start dwelling on these things and thinking these things, He tells us to bring every thought. One of the weapons of our warfare, since it's not carnal, is bringing every thought into captivity, every one of them. Those things which speak directly against who I am in Christ and what I am in Christ, then I know that is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's the voice of demonic powers speaking to you. I'm not going to ask you at all, but you think about it. And I've talked to people and many Christians today. They said, out of nowhere, and I've experienced this myself, there'd be a voice that'd say to them, you're not worth anything. Man, you ought to throw it all in. You ought to just quit. Or, you know, you'd be better off dead. Now think about that. Where would that come from? Did God say that to you? No. Was that just your old sinful nature? Well, no, I didn't go around looking for somebody to tell me to kill myself. Where would a voice like that come? Only from demonic possessions, or excuse me, demonic oppressions. And they're out there. Oh, you're useless. You're not worth anything. You're not pretty. You're not handsome. You're not this. You're not that. You ought to just, you know, you'd be better off. You'd just be better off dead. Those spirits of murder are out there. And we combat that with the blood of Christ, the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. We have truth. John says, don't you throw away this truth. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have worked for, which you've wrought, or others have worked to give us. It's not only what I've worked for, it's what others has given me. It's what my forefathers who labored so we could have this church and so we could have the church and our folks that came to America and so they could have the freedom of religion. Our folks that came and said, hey, I know I'll probably die this first winter here, and you know, I came on the Mayflower, I may die this first winter, but at least I'm going to have a place for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren where they can study their Bibles and read the Word of God and they can preach and pray. At least I'll have a place for them. They won't be persecuted for their religious convictions. At least we'll have that freedom of religion. And that was bought for me. That was wrought for me. That was worked out for me and for you. We all had that. Man, that's a heritage. It's not something I worked for, but others did, and it's given to me. I am not going to throw that away. I'm not going to lose that. I'm not going to discard it. I'm not going to treat it lightly, because Satan comes along with a lie and a suggestion that makes me question it. Don't you do it. I will not discard truth for Satan's lies. And oh, how our young people, how we, how every person, no matter your age, we have to come to this place. I am not going to throw away truth for the lies of the devil. And those are out there, folks. And you know, if you know, on Facebook and all of the social media sites and everything, you have these folks, you know, that stand up and says, you know, a lot of them are in some positions where they have thousands of people that's following them, and they've been, quote, Christians, and then they come up and say, I'm not a Christian no more. I just didn't find anything in it. I say, you wasn't a Christian to begin with. You wasn't a true believer to begin with. You were one of these that you had it all worked out, wasn't prayed out, and one that was given to you, a true experience of salvation, if you could throw it away. And here in sense, they were throwing this away for the lies of the devil. No, sir. Not me, not you. Because we have the real thing. Amen? We have Christ Jesus our Lord in us, working in us. We have the Word of God. We've got the wonderful blood of Jesus Christ that we claim, we plead, the power of the blood, and we have the victory in Christ. Amen? And don't you throw away truth for the lies of the devil. The next time that rascal comes speaking something to you, and you know, man, where'd that come from? Golly, you know, how'd that get in there? When that comes through, you just take one of these scriptures I gave you. You take a truth of God's Word and say, wait a minute. I'm a child of God. I belong to the King. He bought me with a price. I'm not my own. I don't have a right to anything except He's taken me to heaven with Him. He's living His life in me. He owns it all. It all belongs to Him. It's his car, it's his house, it's his clothes, it's all of that. It all belongs to him. You know what? Well, it's so funny. I went this afternoon, thing about his clothes, I had to make a run to Lowe's this afternoon. I stayed up here and studied this afternoon. I run over to Lowe's for a minute, and I was in there talking to one of the guys, and he said, "Boy, I like that suit. Man, I like that." He said, "I like them stripes." I said, "You know, that's true gangster stuff. Do you know that?" I said, "Yeah, I've been told that before." He said, kind of gangster. And I said, "There's not much difference between me and a gangster." I said, "I'm a preacher." He said, "Well, you're God's gangster, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah, I like that. I'm God's gangster. And I is. Amen. I belong to him and so do you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father, for the three that bears witness here on this earth. The Holy Spirit, the word of God, and the blood of Christ Jesus. Thank you that we have that victory. And Satan and all the demons of hell and every hierarchy of demons in this whole world cannot do one thing against the blood of Jesus Christ that is our victory, nor touch the child of God as they are surrounded by the blood of Christ, washed in his blood, part of the family of God, redeemed and purchased and paid for, and the friend of Christ. What wonderful truths we have. Thank you, Lord. Hide these in our hearts. Don't let us throw them away for the lies of the devil. Don't let anybody snatch these truths from us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you, church. God bless you. You're dismissed.